In the 1950s and the 1960s, all the way through the 1970s, a little island in the Long Island Sound, right directly near Lyme, Connecticut, was a military institution that tested weapons of mass destruction, possibly biological warfare, but we know that they were also doing tick experiments. And maybe something completely went wrong. And today's Tucker Carlson talks about it, and it's an interesting program, to say the least. So without further ado, we're going to go to the Tucker Show. And I do leave in his commercials, let you know. We do pirate shows, but we don't make money at The Plain Truth, and we never will. And I think Mr. Carlson has no problem with us showing our listeners what's going on, just in case they're not listening to him. But I do suggest that you join Tucker Carlson. I think there's a fee to join, but I think he's worth it. Remember, The Plain Truth is always free. You never have to worry about a fee with us, but there is there. But he has some very good shows. I don't always agree with him, but he's on the cutting edge right now.
Welcome to the Tucker Carlson Podcast. It's pretty obvious at this point that the corporate media are dying quickly. But why? Because they lie. That's right. They lie. And they died as a result. But at TuckerCarlson.com, we do not lie. We promise to bring you honest interviews and commentary without fear. Here's our latest episode. If you live in certain parts of this country, rural areas particularly, you know people who have or who have had Lyme disease. And for some of them, maybe most, it's not a huge deal. You go in and you get a big dose of antibiotics, you have some symptoms, and then it seems to go away. But for some percentage, and you may know these people too, it's totally life-destroying. It's years in bed. It's agony. It's really the end of your productive life. So what is that exactly? What is Lyme disease? Well, there's still an active debate about that very basic question. Some have dismissed it as a psychological symptom, actually. But even people who acknowledge that it's a physical syndrome aren't always very clear, and they're certainly not in agreement with one another about what it is or where it came from. So back in 2008, a woman called Chris Newby produced a documentary about Lyme. At that point, it was becoming a very serious global illness, and its origins were mysterious, unknown. People whispered about it, but no one could be certain. That documentary was called Under Our Skin. Here's part of it.
Some infectious disease doctors, they don't believe in Lyme, and they said that I was faking it and pretending so I could get out of school.
Lyme is the fastest growing infectious disease in the country. 200,000 new cases a year, maybe even more.
It is a political disease and an economic disease as much as it is a bacterial-borne infection.
I would never, never have thought that something like a bacteriological infection can become so politicized, the truth can be so brutally distorted.
I go into despair daily. I cry daily. I want to die daily.
Well, when I saw this doctor, you know, he said, you've got a long road ahead of you. It's not going to be easy. So that scared me. The unknown is pretty scary.
It is a national health crisis that is completely and totally being ignored and squashed. What is going on?
Well, you could write it off, and again, some have, as a figment of your imagination, but there are real neurological symptoms. And if you know anyone who's had it, you know that it's entirely real. So again, what is this? Well, Chris Newby has spent a lot of time thinking and researching on this topic, has been affected personally by Lyme, is the author of Bitten, The Secret History of Biological Weapons and Lyme Disease, and she joins us now. Chris Newby, thanks so much for coming on. So can you just give us
a... Thanks for inviting me here.
Oh, absolutely. A quick and succinct overview of what Lyme is.
So Lyme disease is caused by a spirochetal bacteria, and you get it through a tick bite. And if you treat it immediately with doxycycline or amoxicillin, it will go away. The problem is it's very often misdiagnosed or diagnosed late. And that's where the controversy comes in for the disease. It it can linger for months to years, and then it's really hard to get rid of. And to complicate it, a tick can transmit up to like 20 different disease-causing microbes. And so if you have like two or three or four of those in one tick bite, it creates a confusing set of symptoms that doctors have trouble diagnosing.
So doctors can isolate, however, the organism that causes Lyme specifically. I mean, there's no mystery about where that comes from. Is that correct?
Well, there are antibody tests for Lyme disease. It's really, really hard to culture the, you know, take blood and culture it in a petri dish.
Yes.
The problem is the tests are not very reliable. The Lyme disease antibody tests don't usually work in the first month. It takes a while for your body to develop antibodies to the level that can they can be measured. And then later on, the tests aren't that great. It's no better than a coin flip because it just depends on what strain you have and yes. what you're, if you're really sick, you won't produce antibodies.
Interesting. So the problem with tick-borne diseases is there are a lot more ticks than there have been in our lifetimes anyway. Parts of the Northeast have seen an explosion in tick populations to the point where large mammals are being decimated, sucked dry of blood and dying because they have too many ticks on them. So that's not anyone's imagination. That's measurable. So if you have a disease that's spread by ticks and there are a whole lot more ticks, you're going to get a whole lot more cases of the disease. Is this measured, measurable?
Yes, and I would say just the cases of Lyme disease are going up, which is proving that ticks are biting people. The CDC estimates there are 500,000 cases a year. That's on average 1,300 people a day, so that's significant. Now, why they're spreading so quickly, I go into that in the book a little bit. I mean, there certainly is global with climate change, which means winters aren't as severe, and a lot of the ticks don't die off. That's true in Maine. Then part of it is people are moving into the woods and are exposed more to the ticks.
Yes, all true in Maine and other northern states. But it does raise the question, like, how did this? I mean, if you're 75 years old, you did not grow up with Lyme disease. If you're 15 years old, you're worried about Lyme disease. That's a pretty short period. Where do we think this came from?
Well, the thing I found in my research for my book is Lyme disease wasn't a noticeable problem till the mid-70s. And what my research said is that there are actually three really virulent tick-borne diseases that showed up right around Lyme, Connecticut, at the mouth of the Connecticut River, which is right across from Plum Island, which was the U.S.'s anti-animal crop headquarters for the biological weapons program. So late 60s, the peak of the biological weapons program in the U.S., these three freaky diseases showed up. So that was Lyme arthritis caused by the spirochete. There was a rickettsia, which is Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and then there was a cattle parasite. It was the second time it was found in man in that area, called Babesia. And that's actually, I got Lyme and Babesia, which can be fatal, and it's a serious disease.
So all three, so you have a cluster, effectively, of these three previously rare diseases right across the water from the U.S. government's biological weapons testing facility. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it's if you're like working for the CDC and on the lookout for natural versus unnatural disease outbreaks, having three new tick-borne diseases show up, extra deadly disease-causing than in the past, it would raise. It would get their attention, and there would be investigations, which is what happened.
That sounds like a crazy conspiracy theory to me. Just because you have previously rare diseases show up all at once across from a biological weapons facility doesn't mean. So the CDC investigated this. What did they find?
Well, a housewife in Lyme, Connecticut, Polly Murray, was the first one to start documenting, and she started pounding on the doors of local health departments and the CDC. And it really took her 7 years before the CDC responded, and a doctor named Alan Steer showed up and started from Yale. He's a CDC EIS officer and started investigating it. And he figured out it was tick-borne, but he couldn't figure out the causative agent. And at that point, the U.S.'s number one tick researcher, Willy Bergdorfer, a Swiss-American tick guy who was in NIH's Rocky Mountain Laboratory, came out to investigate. And that's where he found, I mean, the public-facing story is he found the spirochete. It causes this bullseye rash. He said that's what's causing all the disease. And the panic should stop. Just take 2 weeks of doxycycline and the problem will go away. But it didn't. And that's where my book took off. I started looking at the backstory and wondering what really happened. And people associated with that disease weren't acting in the normal way. Normally, when you discover a dangerous new disease, you say, oh, this is horrible. Give us money. We'll research it. But instead, it just became more and more secretive.
Yes.
It's another morning, and you're all set for work. You grab your coffee, head out the door, and your car decides today's the day it won't start. Panic sets in. You're not just late, you're stranded. Get ahead of unexpected car repairs before they strike with CarShield, the most trusted vehicle protection company. For almost 20 years, CarShield has saved millions of drivers from repair nightmares with low monthly plans that cover up to 5,000 major parts and systems, like pricey transmission and engine repairs, and check engine light mysteries. Visit CarShield today at carshield.com/Carlson. Plans include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, help with flats, lockouts, and rental car options. Save 20% and get a free quote by visiting CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Don't wait for the next surprise. Choose peace of mind with CarShield. Go to carshield.com/Carlson and save 20% today.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds in stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arkseedkits.com. Promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
So is it your belief that Willy Bergdorfer, who I think is gone now, but knew the truth about what happened? And what do you think is the truth?
Well, I worked on the Lyme disease documentary with fresh eyes because I didn't know anything about the disease till my husband and I got it. And the thing that was unusual is the symptoms set on the CDC website and in the medical textbooks was totally different than what we had experienced. So then I teamed up with the director, Andy Wilson, and we spent 3.5 years researching the disease. And what we found out is it was just an enormous epidemic. So many people are suffering. And the treatment recommended by public health, which was 2 weeks of doxycycline, wasn't curing it. But these patients who went on to get the same symptoms over and over again, we're not given any more antibiotics. And then we wanted to understand like what was going on with the disease. So Andy and I called all the CDC people, the NIH people. They wouldn't talk to us. Like one of the original discoverers even hung up on me. I said, I just want someone to go on camera and talk about how this organism causes a disease. to have a professor, you know, who discovered the disease hang up on me, it was just unusual. There was paranoia amongst the specialists. So what we did was we went out to see Willie Burgdorfer, who was retired, the guy who discovered Lyme disease, at his home. And while we were setting up the cameras, someone from the lab knocked on the door and says, I need to sit in on this this interview. There's things Willie can't talk about. And the director was outraged and kicked him out. But during that interview, Willie intimated that there was more to Lyme disease than the public health was letting on, that the disease is not just a rash, highly neurological, especially damaging for children. And 2 weeks of doxycycline doesn't work. And they know it can go on to be chronic. So it was our first hard proof that something wasn't as it seemed on the surface with Lyme disease. And so we got the film out. One of the aspects that we covered in the film is just conflicts of interest in medicine, because right around the time Lyme disease was discovered, researchers at universities, the CDC, the NIH, could share in the profits of a new test or vaccine for a disease. So there was a lot of, a CDC employee could match their salary in royalties for a vaccine or a test kit. So it corrupted the incentives in medicine, not to share information about a new disease, but instead to save it as intellectual property so it can be monetized. So anyways, we got the film out. There were rumors swirling around about Plum Island and it being Lyme disease being a biological weapon, but we had enough to cover with the patient story and the conflict story. And then I was done with it, and I got a great job writing science for Stanford Medical School in the science department. And I was going to walk away and get on with my life. But then two things happened within the space of a month. And I said, I can't let this story go. I just have to know what is really going on with this disease. And one was I met a CIA black ops guy who said in 1962, the weirdest thing he'd ever done in his whole crazy Apocalypse Now career was dropping poison ticks on Cuban sugarcane workers. That was Operation Mongoose. So that was the first evidence that we had dropped ticks on a foreign country as a bioweapon. And then the other thing is one of my filmmaker friends went out to Willie Burgdorfer, and in a very long interview, he at the very end, he said, yeah, when I investigated the Lyme disease sickness in the late 70s, early 80s, there was another organism there. It wasn't just Lyme that was making people sick. It was, I was told to cover it up. It was probably a rickettsia. He didn't release all the information, but what he said was confirmed by copies of his lab books and subsequent interviews that I had with him.
Pardon my ignorance. What is the disease you described? The other one, rickettsia.
So it's a rickettsia. It is the same organism that causes Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and that's the most deadly tick-borne disease in the United States. It also was a germ that was being weaponized by the U.S. military at the time, and they tried to stuff it in ticks. I mean, so what is tick weaponization? So in the interviews with Willie, what he said was, I spent over a decade in the biological weapons program, a contractor to Fort Detrick, working on weaponizing fleas, ticks, and mosquitoes, trying to mass produce them, stuffing fleas with the plague, stuffing mosquitoes with deadly Trinidad virus, and then stuffing ticks with either deadly or incapacitating diseases like relapsing fever, Venezuelan equine encephalitis, rabies, leptospirosis, which is another spirochete. So it's just like Dr. Strangelove trying to make new diseases, mixing bacteria and virus in ticks, with the intent of, this is the perfect stealth weapon. It's poor man's nuke. You drop these insects on an enemy. It weakens the population. It ties up the medical resources, but doesn't destroy infrastructure like a nuclear bomb would. And in one report from a bean counter in the military, they said tularemia, which is tick-borne tularemia, also rabbit fever, we can kill 10,000 people at $1.33 a life. So anyways, it was just, there was more to tick-borne diseases than we realized. And I began suspecting that Willie was right, given this context.
It's hard to digest all of this. It's just so evil. It's hard to believe it could happen in the United States. But I think you're right that it did and maybe still happening. Let me ask what you think happened in the specific case of Lyme. So these kinds of experiments were taking place on Plum Island. Is that confirmed?
Well, Plum Island only did animal diseases. There was another branch, which is Maryland, Fort Detrick. They did anti-human weapons. But I'm not sure exactly what got out where, because if you draw like a 5-mile circle around Lyme, Connecticut, there's Plum Island, there's several military bases. There are many pharmaceutical companies that were funded by the military to develop treatments for these diseases. And so they would have to have the diseases on site. So that's my continuing research there. And there are a couple. Well, first of all, back up to weaponize a living system like a bug or the germs in bugs, or later on in the 60s, they separated the germs and aerosolized them. They would freeze dry them, powderize them, and then spray them on. The plan was to spray them on enemies from planes or buoys or vehicles. So to develop a weapon like that, you have to have someone like Willie Burgdorfer seeing if they can get these living systems to work and develop the lethal dosage of those organisms. Then you have to do pilot studies that usually could happen, you know, in Connecticut or at Fort Detrick in Maryland. And then there would be larger studies, and that would be at like Dugway Proving Grounds in Utah. So there were a lot of leak points for any accidents that could have happened in this biological weapons program. So what Willie said, and I think he's a really credible witness because he had the most to lose by admitting towards the end of his life that I covered up something really important and now I feel guilty about it.
Yes.
You know, all his fame came at 56 when he discovered Lyme disease. So what he said is, and he wouldn't give me the details of the organism that was the bioweapon, but he said accidents happened. So my continuing work is to try and figure out, okay, where was the leak? And most crucially, like, why were there multiple tick-borne diseases in that very, very small spot? Also, there were some in northern Wisconsin where we had a biological weapons. That's the anti-crop area and the genetic engineering area of the bioweapons program. So what I sort through in documents and grants and newspapers.com are, were there century die-offs of animals and people that are hidden there? Because the biological weapons program was as secret as the Manhattan program, and a lot of the documents were destroyed after the program was canceled in 72. I have to say, one of the most outrageous open-air experiments, which I think contributed to the problem around Lyme, Connecticut, is coastal Virginia. A tick researcher had an army contract and a contract with the Atomic Energy Commission, and he was testing Lone Star ticks as a potential weaponized organism. And the thing about Lone Star ticks is they were from the South. Originally, they identified them in Texas, below the Mason-Dixon line. But here he was on the Mason-Dixon line, testing by the hundreds of thousands a non-native tick. And he wanted to see how far they can creep in months to years, because if you're weaponizing it, you would want to know that information. So from Willie Burgdorfer in Montana, he got some pregnant ticks. So they have, they're called gravid ticks, but they have 2,000 to 4,000 eggs inside of them. He would inject them with a radioactive isotope. The ticks would hatch all their larval babies, and then they would be radioactive for life. So first of all, if you're going to release them in nature, is it going to cause mutations in the organisms inside their gut? But anyways, what he would do is he'd take 1,000 ticks and put 1,000 per grid in a marshy field. And then he and his assistants would go out every month. They'd use a Geiger counter to figure out how far the ticks had creeped in that amount of time, and then write studies on them, which are actually in the public domain. But this is an open-air test on the Atlantic Bird Flyway, 1966, 67, 68. And sure enough, like, after those tests ended, there was an unusual epidemic on Long Island of Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which is spread by those kind of ticks. A lot of people died. Usually on Long Island, in the late 60s, there would be one death a year. But after this experiment, like over 100 people gravely ill, quite a few deaths. And actually, that's why Willie Burgdorfer came out, is to try and figure out what happened there. So the point is, this is just one experiment we know about in the biological weapons program. And why does it matter now? Because human hubris, we can't control nature. And if we're going to play God and make these new germs inside ticks and then release them, there could be blowback, unintended consequences. And that's what I believe this thing that we call Lyme disease, but which could be multiple organisms that are making people sick. But no, for some reason, the government said, it's only this one spirochete. It can be cured with 2 weeks of antibiotics. And I think that's fundamentally untrue.
Well, there's another breaking story by Tucker Carlson that you just don't get anywhere else but his show, and now The Plain Truth. But again, I keep saying our government is lying to us. Our government is our enemy, and our government is killing us. And it's about time we, as a people, take our government back before it's too late. I know the fate of the United States of America, according to the Bible, and we've gone over that on The Plain Truth today. But I'm also saying that we can hold these things back if we take the bull by the horns and take back this government from the deep state that is not having your interests at heart. So again, until the next show, this is Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today and theplaintruth.com saying thank you for listening. Please tell others about the show. And I really appreciate all the support I get and we get from you guys. And we wish you a very good day and see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.